phone is turning off. I don't have my message. And I do have my Bible. I think it's over there. Hang on, I'll grab it. Yeah. I don't want to preach our Sunday school. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Acts chapter 17. And there are many verses in the Bible that we could go to and look at when we're looking at the attributes of God, when we're looking at who God is, what He is, all that He is. I mean, we again, could be looking into this subject for many, many months, maybe many years, but one of the attributes of God is that He is a righteous judge. We certainly can understand and appreciate the love of God. We can certainly express our desire to reciprocate that love that we have been given by God to Him. We love Him because He first loved us, the Bible says. God is love, God is kind, God is merciful, and I praise God every day that we have escaped the judgment of God. I'm glad. Amen. I praise the Lord. But the reality is, and when we consider this particular subject, I mentioned this morning that there are certain subjects within mainstream Christianity that you just don't preach on. I would venture to say there are not too many churches, even in our community, that you would go to and hear preaching on hell, preaching on judgment, preaching on pride, preaching on self-examination. The world of Christianity has long since abandoned the God of judgment, the God of justice. But, you know, without God's judgment and without the judgment and justice of God, His love becomes impotent. It's meaningless. It's like the Jehovah Witness who comes to the door, and I ask them, why are you here? It's a good question to ask them. Why are you here? Because they don't know. They will tell you that they have to go out as part of their sacrament of salvation to enter the kingdom. But I will ask them, is God going to judge the unrighteous of this world in a place called hell? And they will say, no, they are just going to die, and they are going to just be in a permanent state of soul sleep. And that will be their end. That will be their final destination. They will just be nothing. So there is no judgment. There's no punishment for our sins. We are going to get off scot-free. And I'll ask them, why are you here? To tell me about the love of God? Well, if God isn't going to punish me, I don't need the love of God. If there's no judgment, then you've got no gospel message of salvation for me. Why are you here? God, His attributes are inseparable. And we can't have a positive side of a battery without having the negative side of the battery. We can't have the love of God without understanding the judgment and justice of God. Everybody believes in penal our penal system that you know, we're glad that we have judges. We're glad that we put away people that are hazards or dangers to society, and they have to serve their time or their sentence in prison. And we're glad for that, and we would say amen. Most people in the world would say amen, that they're glad that the rapist or the pedophile or the murderer or the thief or the violent individual, that they're put away and they get the reward of their fruits. What kind of a God would we have if God did not do the same? If God did not bring into judgment the sins of mankind? Proverbs, I'm going to read these verses. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. That's going to be our text verse. But in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 5, the Bible says, evil men understand not judgment. That's an interesting verse. They don't understand judgment. But they that seek the Lord understand all things. They understand all things, all of God's judgment, all of God's way. You see, evil men don't want to think about the judgment of God. Evil men don't consider the judgment of God. Evil people don't care about the judgment of God. They just continue to go about doing what they're doing. How many people here have ever been driving down the road and somebody coming the opposite direction flashes their lights at you? What does that mean? Judgment is coming. Amen? There's a policeman. You hear that, you got a bulb burned out. But it usually means there's a policeman up ahead. And that's the warning signs. You know, when we go out into the community, when we talk to our friends and our family, you know what we do? We flash the lights and we say, hey, listen, there's going to be someone down the road who is going to bring into judgment what you're doing. But the Bible says here that evil men, they don't understand judgment. And then in Psalms chapter 45, in verse 6, the Bible says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter, or a righteous judgment scepter. And then in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25, the Bible says that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of the earth, the judge of all the earth, do right? And God is going to do right. He's going to judge this world, and He is going to be right in everything that He does. And if you have your Bibles, and if you're able to, we'll stand together as we read our text verse, Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. The Bible says, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, wherefore He hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised Him from the dead. And let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to be here tonight. And as we think of, again, the Scriptures, and we think about the seriousness of the judgment of God, I pray that everything would be right in our relationship with You. And that we would understand, though, even as forgiven in Christ, even as the redeemed and the purchased possession of our Lord, we too will stand before You. And all of our works, our good deeds and our bad deeds, will be brought into judgment. And so, Father, would You again bind our hearts, bind the strong man, and would You allow the Holy Spirit of God to do a work in our hearts and life tonight. We thank You, we praise You in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. I just want to make mention there in Genesis chapter 18, verse 25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You know, when you talk about this subject of judgment to the unsaved or the wicked man that understands not the judgment of God, you know, their thinking and their mentality is all stemming from, again, this oft-mentioned subject in the Bible that our hearts are deceitful. You know, when you talk to men and women in our community, you know, you could, as I mentioned this morning, you could go to the prison and you could talk to people and ask them, are you going to heaven? And everyone thinks that they're good enough. Everyone thinks they've done enough good works in their life. Yeah, you know what? Maybe I did something bad or I got framed and that's why I'm in prison. But still, you know what? Hey, I'm a good person and God is merciful. Amen, which is true. Are you glad He's merciful? God is going to do right, the Bible says. And the problem is people don't want to admit that they are worthy of judgment. And they want to believe that God, the God of heaven, is only a God of love and mercy and justice. We would say that would be nice. If God was just going to turn his back to sin, if He was just going to sweep everything under the carpet and everything was going to be fine, He was this benign, dictator in heaven that isn't going to do anyone any harm. But the Bible says that God is not going to do anyone any wrong. And you know, all of these people that say, you know what, I don't deserve hell, all of these people that would say, I don't deserve heaven, or I've been good enough, and I believe with all of my heart that in that day when we stand, when the world stands before God, before the great white throne judgment, nobody is going to accuse God of doing wrong. Because there at that judgment of God, all our sins and all of our unrighteousnesses and all of our wrong thoughts and all of our wrong deeds and all of our wrong acts and all of the omission that we've done in our lives, leaving God out of our life, failing to serve Him, failing to love Him, failing to accept Him as Creator. All of these things are going to be brought before the minds of the individuals standing before God's throne. And when they stand there and God says that the sentence is fallen and judgment has come, no one is going to answer back and say, God, You're unrighteous. God, I don't deserve it. People are going to see in that day, when they see the holiness and righteousness of God, there's going to be no excuses. There was an article in CNN, July 28, 2017, and the headline of the article was "Outlaw Pastor Rob Bell Shakes Up the Bible Belt." And this is the story, as said by CNN. Ben and Ashley Baldwin were standing in line outside an Atlanta theater on a recent Sunday when they learned they were in danger. The young couple, blonde, tanned, and draped in khaki and cotton summer clothes, were waiting to hear Rob Bell, a controversial California pastor, when Ben ran into an old college acquaintance. And this is the trouble. After making small talk, the man handed the Baldwins a note. Opening it, they read a neatly typed message that began with a few questions to consider tonight. It asked whether Bell honored the Bible as inspired by God, could his audience recognize heresy and guard against it. As you listen tonight, it advised, ask God Himself to show you what is true and what is not true. The Baldwins were surprised. Only the night before, at another Bell event, a street preacher had warned them they would go to hell. Bell has a reputation amongst conservative Christians as a false teacher who leads others astray. The couple decided to risk damnation and enter the theater. They'd heard enough about false teaching growing up in a conservative Christian environment. Listen to this, built on shame, guilt, and fear. I'm sorry, folks. I don't think any of us would believe that our religion and our beliefs are built on guilt, shame, and fear. Amen? Anyways, it goes on to say, Ben started listening to Bell's podcast about a year ago after going through a personal crisis. He said this. He says, I got into a 12-step recovery group, and I sought lots of help within the church community. I was being handed Bible verses and told this was what you're supposed to do. The answer that I was that I was given weren't sufficient because I still felt like I was dying inside. Rob Bell was not scared of those questions. He doesn't provide black and white answers. Going to hear a pastor preach on a Sunday afternoon is considered an act of piety, but when the pastor is Bell and he's speaking in the heart of the Bible Belt, it's subversive. Bell, who made the cover of Time magazine, is an outlaw in the evangelical world. He was cast out of the kingdom in 2011 after he questioned the existence of hell in his New York Times best-selling book, Love Wins. And then it goes on to talk about Rob Bell's, the article says, Rob Bell on overwhelming white evangelical support of President Donald Trump. He's telling audiences that a person should read the Bible, now listen to this, literally, not literally. That people who talk the most, listen to this, that people that talk the most about the Bible often know it the least. I guess that means me and you. And he said this, 81% of white evangelicals who voted, you talked about it, the 81% of the white evangelicals who voted for President Donald Trump, he said this, the reason why this person got elected in many ways can be traced to a misunderstanding regarding scriptures. The way of Jesus is the way of nonviolence. It's love of the other. So when a nation of immigrants starts putting up travel bans, you have officially lost the plot. The Bible, and again he says this, the Bible is as much about the absence of God. I'm not sure where he gets this from. The Bible is as much about the absence of God as it is the presence of God. He goes on to ask this question during this seminar, or during this, whatever you want to call it. He says, do you belong to a church that says women cannot be priests or pastors? Bad move, Bell said. He said this, any church that does so, that is, does not have women pastors and priests, any church that does so betrays the example of Jesus, who treated women as equals. Women in Jesus' time could even testify as witnesses in court. Yet all the Gospels have women as the first witnesses to Jesus' resurrection, he said. How did Bell's audience react to his pronouncement? Cheers and more cheers. It was as if they were hungry for his message. And I have to ask him to excuse me because I'm going to read the Bible both literally and literally. Amen? I think we should do both. I believe the Bible. And here in our text verse in Acts, God reveals his purpose for man. God reveals his holy purpose. And when we look at this verse and we understand the attributes of God, we need to not only ask who or what he is, who or what God is, what his character and his spirit are like, what his present attitude towards us is, we must ask as well, what is his purpose concerning us? And that one infinite God in whom we live and move and have our being, who holds our destiny in his hands, in his intention is to light a lamp as the Spirit of God in a human being. And that they should go out and utter to death, we should all die, and that light should shine as a glorious sphere for the glory of God. And we must ask ourselves, what condition has God made for us after this life? God has given us that lamp. God has given us that light, the Spirit of God illuminating our hearts. And because of that, we will live forever. But what is it going to be like? The Bible here in our text says that there is a day. God, in His plan for mankind, has appointed a day. There's a day coming when judgment will take place. The day is coming in another state, in another life, in another place. God has appointed that we will stand before God and our actions will be judged there. The Bible says He has appointed a day in which He will judge the world. God has allowed us to continue on. We often wonder when the wrath of God is going to be revealed. You know, there's a lot of people wondering why there's so many injustices in the world. Why is God allowing this to happen? Why is God allowing that to happen? But the Bible says that there is a day reserved. That is not like a normal day, a solar day, but it is an era or an age or a time of judgment. There's been a specific allotted time of judgment. And that day will happen. Amen? You know, it's like the lights being flashed. The judgment is coming. And the policeman, you know, sometimes if that's happened to you, you're driving down the road and you drive for a little ways and there's no policeman around here. So we speed up a little bit and he just happened to be another couple kilometers farther away than we thought. We don't know, but we know that there's something up there. And it's like that day of wrath when the judgment of God is going to fall upon this world. We don't know when that day is going to happen, but we know it's coming. We know it's coming. God, I'm glad, by the way, God hasn't told us when it's going to be. But there's a lot of injustices in our world. We've seen and we see injustices every day. There was a great American hero, editor, school teacher. He was a clergyman by the name of Elijah Lovejoy, and he left the pulpit and returned to the press in order to be sure that his words reached more people. The Civil War might have been averted and a peaceful emancipation of slaves achieved had there been more like him. After observing one lynching, Lovejoy was committed forever to fighting uncompromisingly the awful slavery that was permeating his country. Mob action was brought against him time after time. Neither this nor many threats and attempts on his life deterred him. Repeated destruction of his presses didn't stop him. He said, "If by compromise is meant that I should cease from my duty, I cannot make it. I fear God more than I fear man. Crush me if you will, but I will die at my post." And he did. 4 days later, at the hands of another mob, no one of the ruffians was prosecuted or indicted or punished in any way for his murder. Some of Lovejoy's defenders were prosecuted. One of the mob assassins was later elected mayor of Alton. However, one young man was around who was deeply moved by the Lovejoy martyrdom. He had just been elected to the Illinois legislature, and his name was Abraham Lincoln. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. And you know, when we look down through history, we look maybe even within our own lives, we've all suffered injustice. People suffer injustice. Sin seems to be permeating our world. Why does the wrong government seem to constantly get in? Why does this happen? Why does that law get passed? Why is God being pushed out of our schools and out of our government? Why is God being pushed out of our pulpits? We wonder, where is God? Where is God's judgment? When is God going to do something about it? Well, God has appointed a day. And in that day, everything is going to be made right. In the thought and purposes of God, This life is only the commencement of our existence. This is only the commencement. To many people, this life is all that they know. To many people, this life is all that they live for. To many people, this life is all that they exist for. But God tells us that this life is but a small part of the whole. This is only the beginning. This is only the probationary period, if you will, for a greater and grander life in eternity with God. And I praise God for that. So far from this being the be-all and end-all of humanity, it is but the preface to a large volume that succeeds, a large volume of life. It is but the river which runs down and is lost into the sea. And there's going to be a day that will come when all of our lives will be gathered and examined, purified and judged by the fires of a righteous God. And then we also see in our verse here that we're dealing with a righteous God. The Bible says that He is going to judge us in righteousness. He's going to judge the world in righteousness. And this is the idea of, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Have you ever, it's confession time. Have you ever done wrong? Have you ever been wrong? Have you ever been wrong? Once. I thought I was mistaken and I really wasn't. How many times? I lined up all my kids when they were little. And they had done something that I asked them not to do. And I lined them up and they all got a paddle. Board of Education applied to the seat of learning. And then one of the children, tears in his eyes, and we're hugging afterwards, and he looks at me and he said, Dad, I wasn't even there. I said, here, you can take this paddle and paddle me now. and you know, my heart sank, and you know what, I apologized to him, and he was all right. But how many times have we brought a judgment down, whether it's a parent to a child, or we brought a judgment towards someone else, and then it turns out we were wrong, and then we feel really, really bad. At least we should. Amen. you know, we have all judged, and this is why the Bible has a lot to say about judging righteous judgment. You know, making sure that we're judging properly when we do judge spiritually. And you know, none of us are perfect. None of us are fit, you know, to be judges, because we've all sinned, we've all committed trespasses, and we don't know all the facts. You know, you try to deal with people, and people come to conclusions without knowing all the facts. Well, listen, when we stand before God, God's going to know all the facts. I'm dealing with a family right now, and talking to their pastor, and it's like, you know, there's got to be more going on here than what we're being told. There just has to be more going on. And you know, we don't know everything, and we'll never maybe know everything. But you know what? When we stand before God, and God is going to bring down that judgment, God is going to do it righteously. There's going to be no mistake. There's going to be no mistrial. There's going to be no perjury, tampering with evidence, injustice. And as I mentioned, every single one of us, when we stand before God, whether it's at the Bema Seat of Christ or whether it's at the Great White Throne, we are not going to argue with Him. We're not going to argue. Because, you know, our memories. I used to have my memory isn't what it used to be. Let's just say that. People say, well, what it used to be, I can't remember. I've forgotten. You know, and our memories are askew. You know, our memories, and isn't it amazing how we can twist our memories? Oh, I remember it this way. Well, isn't it funny how the way we always remember it is the way that always works in our favor? And we can twist you know, even in our own minds, what really took place that day, what really we did, what really we didn't do, or whatever it may be. But listen, God's got a better memory than we do. And you know, when we stand before God, it's not going to be, you know what, God, that's not the way it happened. I was there, you know. Well, God's going to say, I'm sorry, I was there too. And we're going to say, God, no, that's not what I said. And God's going to say, that's exactly what you said. And you're going to say, God, that's not what I did. And God's going to say, that's exactly what you did. And guess what? Who's right? God is. And you know, when we stand before God, He's going to be a righteous judge. And no one, I don't believe, is going to argue with Him. The Bible says that every mouth will be stopped. We're just going to say, you know what, God, you're right. You're right. I don't know if He's going to have video replay or what He's going to have, but God, our mouths are going to be stopped. We're not going to argue with Him. He is the righteous judge, and He will do no wrong. If He sentenced us to 1,000 years, then He's right in doing it. If He sentenced us to 1,000,000 years, He's right in doing it. If He has sentenced you to hell for all of eternity, despite what the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Seventh-day Adventists and all of the modernists and Rob Bell and all these people say, there is a hell. And we deserve that hell. And I remember, again, Jehovah's Witnesses coming to my door and telling me, you know, there is no hell. It's just a misrepresentation of the Scriptures. And Jesus never taught judgment. And I'll say, well, you know what the heart of the problem is? That message that I preached this morning. Pride. You see, people get angry with God that a loving God wouldn't send anyone to hell for all of eternity. Charles Taz Russell certainly didn't believe that. A loving God would never do that. I'm too valuable. I'm too good of a person. I've tried to do good all my life. You know, I know I've made some mistakes. I know I've done this. I know I've done that. I'm not perfect, but I think I'm good enough. And God would just be wrong. He would be unjust to send me to hell. And I've told these people that have come to my door, I said, the problem is you have never seen yourself for who you really are. And if you understand yourself like the Bible tells you you are, you will understand there's a hell. And you will believe there's a hell because you will believe that you deserve it. You see, a proud person is never going to believe they deserve hell. A proud person is never going to walk into a courtroom and say, you know what, Judge, I did it. I'm confessing everything. I wasn't framed. I wasn't set up. I did it of my own free will. I did it of my own volition. I'm guilty, and I deserve whatever you hand down to me. A person that's saved, a person that's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, understands that he is unrighteous and understands that God is just in sending him to hell because he deserves it. And because I deserve it. And because you deserve it. God will do no injustice. When we stand at the great white throne judgment, there's going to be no partiality. Be it far from God that he should be partial, no favoritism. No one is going to fare any better than anyone else. Regardless of class or sex or parentage or nationality or the color of your skin or whether you speak in a French accent or a Scottish accent or a German accent or a Russian accent. It doesn't matter if you got size 13 shoes or if you got size 8 shoes. It doesn't matter if God is not going to be a respecter of persons. Everyone is going to be treated exactly the same. And you know what, folks? That's another thing that we can't say of ourselves. You know, we all have favorites. We have favorite children. We have favorite preachers. We have favorite shows. We have favorite this. We have favorite ice cream. Amen? Amen. Some of you are shaking your head. Ice cream right now is not really on my mind. We have favorites. But God doesn't have favorites. In fact, the Bible, it says that we're not to be many teachers. Because teachers are going to come into a greater condemnation. And so we've got to be careful. God isn't going to be partial. God will bring, the Bible says, every work into judgment with every secret thing, all thoughts and all feelings. You know, when we think about that, thoughts, these are the works, the work of the understanding, all feelings, this is the work of the heart, all choices, the work of the will, as well as all words, which is the work of the tongue. The Bible says that God's going to bring in all our deeds, and this is the work of our hands. Everything is going to be brought into judgment. And then there's going to be no respect will be had or given to each and every or any person. And then we see finally here that the judge is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. All judgment, the Bible says, has been given to the Son. The Bible says there in our text verse, by that man, even the Son of Man, by whom all judgment has been committed, according to John chapter 5 and verse 22. The Bible says that he will have authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man, according to John chapter 5 and verse 27. Christ will be our judge. His special relationship to us eminently fits him for that supreme position as judge over us. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord over our nature. He knows our nature perfectly. He became a man and died for our sins. And he claims that we shall all come into a living relationship to him. And we must be, according to the Bible, found in him. Or we will face the great white throne judgment of Jesus Christ. And God gives us assurance here as well. That the Bible talks about assurance here. And I'm glad for that. The Bible says, wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The Bible there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about that the resurrection of Jesus Christ being the center of our faith. Without the resurrection, the Bible says that our faith is in vain. The resurrection is what gives us life. The resurrection is what gives us hope. And the Bible says that he's given assurance unto all men. You know, I'm glad that God isn't going to be partial at the judgment seat of Christ. God's not going to be partial at the great white throne judgment, but I'm glad that God wasn't partial nor a respecter of men when it came to his offer of salvation. Amen. Amen. Are you glad that Christ died for you? Amen. Are you glad that God loved you? Are you glad that you were able and willing and God allowed you to come to the throne and obtain salvation? Amen. God didn't say, you know, I don't like you. No, I didn't create you to be saved. You know, all people in all places, in all nations, man, woman, black or white, not only is God not going to be partial in judgment, but God says, listen, you all have the opportunity to come before my throne as a blood-washed, born-again child of God. You know, we're all going to face judgment. And I'm glad. Sorry, Rob Bell, this isn't a religion of fear, amen, and guilt and shame. You know what? The Christianity, Bible-believing Christianity, removes guilt. It removes shame, amen, and it removes fear. I'm glad that I can pillow my head tonight not having fear in my heart about where I might be if I was to die in my sleep. God has given me confidence and boldness to be able to stand before him. He's given me assurance. He's given you assurance that we can stand before him Because Jesus Christ has died for us, and he has taken the judgment that we deserve upon himself. It's a story of love. Amen? It's not fear. And I'm glad for biblical Christianity. I don't think it's broken. Amen? I'm going to read the Bible. Not only am I going to read it literally, but literally. Understanding it. Knowing it, but believing it's true. Amen? Because it's not broken, and Christianity is not broken, and reality and truth isn't broken, and the idea of judgment isn't wrong. And I don't understand. Well, maybe I do. We've got an enemy, amen, the devil, who wants everyone to think, hey, listen, you're okay. You're okay. God is a God of love. God, His love wins. And God's not going to send you to hell, and God's not going to judge you, and God's a loving God. You don't need to trust Jesus Christ. You don't need to believe in Jesus Christ. I think our religion's good enough. Amen? And let's just believe God for who He is. And, you know, the idea of God being a righteous judge isn't something that should bring us fear. It should bring us security. Amen? It should bring us to the place of security. We should be glad that we have a judge and a judicial system that puts away criminals and makes our society better. And you know, we should stand and rest assured that all injustices, all of the things, all of the wrongs, all of the things we've done wrong, everything is going to be brought before the throne of God. And let's be thankful for that. Amen? It's not something to cower over. It's something to look forward to. Let's pray, ask God's blessing. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your justice. And we thank you, Lord, that you're a great God who has given assurance to all people that Jesus Christ died and He rose from the dead. And as He rose from the dead, He gave us victory over death and the grave. He gave us victory, and our faith is real, our faith is true, and our faith is tried. And I pray, God, the Holy Spirit would work in each one of our hearts today as we consider the judgment seat of Christ. And Lord, that each one of us would desire to be able to stand there and say, Lord, I've run my course. I finished the race. I didn't quit. I didn't fall out of church. I didn't stop reading my Bible. I didn't stop praying. I didn't stop witnessing. I continued. And God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. May that be the heart's desire of each one of us today. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing a song of invitation.